tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Hey there, Z Nation fans! Welcome to another edition of the Z Nation After Buzz After Show. Tonight we are talking about Season 2, Episode 4, Batch 47. How are we all feeling tonight?
You're doing good.
I'm surprised the answer wasn't mellow.
Mellow. Just so mellow.
Mellow or just hungry.
They call me Mellow Yellow.
A very specific
I'm on the other side
treat.
Of that. I'm just...
Well, guys, we have a very, very special guest with us tonight. Let me go ahead and introduce my panel first, the wonderful Katie Cullen.
Hi, all my buddies. You can find me on Twitter at Kiaxet. That's K-I-A-X-E-T. I'm also checking the hashtag ABTVZ Nation and the live chat on YouTube, so social media.
Everyone come in and chat with us.
Please do.
That was the word. And the fantastic Michelle Cullen.
Hey, everyone. You can find me on Twitter at Michelle_Cullen.
And the fantastic writer of tonight's episode, Michael Cassett.
Hey there. Cassett ZN is my Twitter handle when I check it. So,
well, thank you so much for taking the time to like come down and hang out in the studio again tonight.
It's a new studio. How could I miss it?
I know, right? This is a pretty fantastic setup we have.
It's a good one.
Although I think in the camera it probably looks exactly like the old one. But
no, there's
not
brick
quite.
On the wall.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, brick. But
there's
yes.
a slight aesthetic difference.
Okay.
But thank you so much again for joining us. Can I just ask how was it fun writing this episode? Because this was like a really cool, different type of episode.
It was. I mean, again, everything we do on ZN is kind of a group effort. It certainly starts that way because we break all the stories as a bunch or a horde or whatever it is. And, but divvying it up was fun. I really wanted to do this one because it was ostensibly set in Minneapolis, which is kind of my home turf anyway. So although most of it didn't survive, there were a ton of little in-jokes. I mean, you see people wearing hockey gear and things like that. So, yeah, it was fun. Just, you know, and also being able to, I think, break new ground in zombie mythology. Actually, till new ground would probably be more appropriate. But, yes, it was great.
Yeah, no, this was very different in, like, the best way possible. I know Michelle probably was really enjoying this episode.
I was. I was very excited that there was... You know, that it was set in Minneapolis. Well, Minneapolis. It was a very grassy area of Minneapolis. I wasn't very familiar with it, but it was good.
It was after the zombie apocalypse and in that 5 minutes of summer. Minnesota.
Okay,
has,
so. I recall that now, yeah.
Yeah.
For those of you wondering about this, Michelle is from Minnesota.
I had to rep today.
Oh, that's true.
And the author is from Minnesota.
Yeah.
Minnesota
really?
Born, so yes.
Oh, that's fantastic. So that was probably really fun.
Right. And I'm back there frequently. A lot of my sister, my brother, my wife's family were all from that area. So it's fun to go back and think about it.
Well, that's a shame then that we're leaving so soon. There's probably a lot of fun stuff that could have been done.
Well, the next episode is set in Iowa, and I have family there too. So.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah.
For our Minnesota host and Minnesota viewers, I'm curious as to what some of the in-jokes that didn't quite make it are.
There were some references to the Mall of America and...
Yes.
Shopping zombies that just never quite...
Oh,
my God, yes. That would have been so good.
Never quite made it.
Oh, and that would have been a nice nod to Romero's stuff as well.
It's one of the many things. It's just left on the cyber cutting room floor, so...
Here's hoping it's on the DVD.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. The extended one-hour version, one-and-a-half-hour version of the show, I'm sure.
Yeah, that was something you touched on last season, was that a lot of these episodes were basically an hour and a half, and that most of them get left on the cutting room floor. Each of these are essentially their own movie.
Yeah, I mean, partly it's just the way we shoot. I mean, there is a lot of stuff going on. We've got a terrific crew. Everything is kind of run and gun, so we're out there, and there are moments that you get that are just priceless, funny, hilarious, violent, nasty. And ultimately, though, it still has to fit in, the time period, so it just gets chopped down, and you know, that is the nature of the business, so...
Dumb commercials. Boo.
Yeah, well, if they're not there, we're not there.
That's true.
Unless you want to subscribe to Z Nation, in which case you have my Twitter handle. Feel free to... I'll do my Z starter right here, you know.
Shut up and take my money. Yes.
Yeah. Pretty much.
All right.
Like, well, I would sit down and watch 90-minute versions of all of these episodes, or a 3-hour version of the pilot, not the pilot, the season premiere, as it were.
Yeah.
That would have been really great. So for any of you guys listening on Twitter, if you have any questions for our guests, we are paying attention to the hashtag ABTVZNation. Let's get down to business. Let's talk about tonight's episode, because we open up in what I kind of thought was the jungle, and it ended up being a greenhouse, and I've never seen zombies like these. With we had these people who are going in who, again, I thought this was the jungle because they looked like explorers, but they turned out to be what's called harvesters, and they're looking for a specific batch. They're looking for a specific plant, and it felt very much like one of those old, like an old school like adventure in the jungle, because you're looking for this specific plant or a type of treasure, and then they're just overrun with these swamp thing zombies, which I was curious, because I didn't get to watch with you guys. What was your guys' reaction upon seeing these zombies?
I'm just watching this going, he's going to die, he's going to die. Oh, there it went. Oh, look at the makeup on that one.
You did say that, actually.
That's a
direct quote, for those of you who are curious. When I saw the beginning of the episode and kind of the intro, I think I made a comment that it reminded me very much of Star Wars when Luke goes to see Yoda. It was kind of that environment. He even had a similar
zombie
helmet.
Yoda.
And everything was green.
Die, we do not all.
Maybe we could get zombie cosplayers. Yeah. Like, there was a convention going on and the zombie outbreak happened.
Oh my God.
That was two very different reactions.
Yeah, we will eventually.
I'm just thinking of the zombie walk at San Diego Comic-Con. It's always fun
now
to be eating dinner and having a bunch of zombies
walk by. How would
that
be ironic? A bunch of people dressed like zombies and then actual zombies come in.
We've toyed with that idea. It just haven't quite found the moment or venue for it.
Maybe season three. Maybe season three.
If
we'll get there.
Three, yes. Knocking on whatever we knock on.
But again, I have to give it, like, kudos to your guys' makeup department, because all of these unique zombies, because last week we had the really super fast radiated
zombies.
Exactly. Yeah. The irradiated zombies. And then this week, and I kind of like that these zombies not only have such a unique look to them and everything like that, I also like that they kind of had this hive mind thing going on, which is something we haven't seen with other sets of zombies before.
Organic zombies.
No pesticides.
Yeah. Free range.
Free range zombies.
What intrigued me about that was, skipping ahead a little, Murphy's empathic relationship with them. And I'm wondering if that's not because he'd been smoking Z-weed.
Yeah, that was part of the mythology we built for ourselves, is that he was imbued or infused with whatever they were at that moment, just so it's beyond his normal and perhaps growing relationship with the quasi-undead, that he was particularly connected to these.
That was a question, because it was an immediate red flag when he walked into the greenhouse and that guy cut the vine and it affected him.
Yeah.
And he
mm-hmm.
actually felt the pain. I was like, this is not going to end well for poor Murphy.
Barely does.
No. Although it's nice that, like, that his ability doesn't necessarily get him a get-out-of-jail-free card. We saw it last week and we saw it this week, is that he doesn't have free reign of the zombies. Mm-hmm. He's not the zombie king.
No, the zombie whisperer.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and we saw that, I mean, at the end of season one, too, when they were in Fort Collins. It wasn't a CDC. It was a secret military base.
Yeah, right. The lab.
Right.
But, you know, they ran into zombies, and he was like, I don't think these ones like me very much. So kind of learning early on that though he is developing his powers and he's kind of getting the hang of it, that there's always going to be those exceptions. And I think it always adds an interesting twist to the episode when it doesn't go his way.
Exactly.
Well, and it's a balanced character. You have someone who could very well be the king of this new world. And it turns out that, no, there's still problems with it. It doesn't always work. It's a very good character balance for what could be a world-breaking power.
Exactly. And, again, we wouldn't want too much to go to his head, because he's got a big enough ego anyway.
Yeah.
Too late.
Don't empower the Murphy.
And that has a title now. Yeah. The Murphy.
The Murphy,
I do like how when he's making his introduction to this new group, how he swaggers in and he's like, you may have heard of me.
Yeah. Well, he was in sales mode right then. So, yeah, he's still kind of learning to wear the suit of the Murphy, the attitude. Because, you know, when we just saw him a couple of weeks ago, he was still not even aware that people knew who he was. And now it's, okay.
Exactly. And even that poor guy who's didn't make it.
We don't know what happened to him. He could still be
alive. Pretty sure he was Cassandra's lunch.
I don't...
Oh, Wrecking Ball?
Yeah.
I just told somebody I think he got off at Fargo.
Oh.
Right. But like, I
don't know how much of him got off.
Michelle was holding out hope that he was going to stick around.
That he was that stupid, lovable character that really had no purpose but comedic relief. That was my hope.
He
him
came
and
in
his rat tail.
Never say never.
Right? See, I kind of think, and I again, it's a hope, and I'm always wrong. I'm almost wrong. I'm just going to accept that fact right now.
You've come to the wrong show.
For hope.
Which is ironic because we had that whole big speech about hope.
Yeah.
But I hope that he just got so annoying to Murphy that they kicked him out of the car and he's like wandering around somewhere and he'll come back later.
While it was moving.
Yeah.
He came in like a wrecking ball and out like a potato sack.
Yeah. Oh, Miley Cyrus.
Yeah.
It went there.
But so he and Cassandra are now in, they are at this, I guess, laboratory where they were pulling experiments.
The idea
on,
was, it was,
to
a,
like,
it was a corporate, you know, agro, literally the kind of place where you'd make feed or, you know, things like that, or artificial food stuff product.
Or seaweed.
Or a lot of cannabis.
Yeah. Well, yeah. That's... I mean, you know, that's a no-brainer. I mean, in the zombie apocalypse, somebody's going to be manufacturing recreational substances.
There's always going to be demand for it.
And it's true.
If not there, then where?
Exactly. So it was kind of interesting to see, but it's also very unsettling just any time there are experiments being done on zombies, especially because we were seeing more and more with Murphy's connection to zombies that there's still a vestige of humanity left in what we assume is like a shell of a person. And we see that a zombie may, in fact, still be a little bit human. And so, like, the idea that there are experiments going on zombies, at least for me, is very unsettling.
Keeping the heads in the jar was a whole new level of nope.
Yeah.
Thank you for that. Declined.
Yeah. Sorry.
No,
it is not the creepiest thing we've seen on this show or any other.
You don't know where the line is until you cross it.
It was just interesting to me that Murphy has, you know, kind of evolved and has decided that mercy might not necessarily be the right course for zombies and we should leave them alone if they're not bothering us. And then here comes an opportunity to test Batch 47. And he's like, yeah, do it.
Well, here's the thing. He can have that opinion because he's the only one that the zombies don't bother for the most part. He's sitting there from a place of privilege. Oh, they don't bother me, whatever. Well, they're trying to murder the rest of us, so thanks for that.
It's not even that. It's that he's been opposed to the killing of zombies because they're not hurting him. He sees that there is a different side to them, and then there's these heads, and maybe it's just because they're heads that he's like, sure.
Yeah, we actually did debate that, and I think our attitude was that Murphy would say, well, they're kind of beyond whatever help he might want to be able to ultimately offer. So, you know.
Yeah, no. I was confused at first. I was like, oh, are they, like, is that just their way of detaining them? And it took me a minute to go, no, those are actually heads in jars. Yeah, no, they're not going anywhere. But I will say that this was, I like that Murphy's developing connections with the zombie, strangely enough, are making him act more human. We've seen him be more compassionate and thoughtful now that he has these connections with different zombies than he ever was just kind of slogging around with different people.
Yeah, I mean, that's it's kind of a bizarre method of personal growth for Murphy. His destiny was to become a quasi-blend half-zombie, quarter-zombie, made him a more interesting human. You know, yeah. What he was in Portsmouth Prison and earlier was just completely reprehensible, so...
Well, the zombies don't try to use them. They're just giant homicidal kittens.
Yeah.
But people,
puppies and kittens.
Puppies and kittens. Man. But people will definitely try to use them. I got beat up by a kitten today. So I'm like, yeah, kittens.
Oh, is that
killed
it?
The conversation there. Yeah. Yeah, that was it.
Kittens.
So, non-sequiturs. But when even though Murphy comes sauntering into this area, we get a glimpse of the Doctor of Death, who he seems to have been recovered all right from that tragic fridge accident. And by tragic fridge accident, I mean nuclear explosion.
Hey, what's that on your face?
He's like a cockroach. It drives me crazy. How is he not dead?
Well, I love the makeup job.
He's on his way to being dead. With that.
That's true.
I mean, that's not good.
There's no way the man is not super irradiated.
Yeah. Pieces of him could fall off at some point. But he's still there, and he's still Dr. Kurian.
I mean, and given his extensive knowledge, I wouldn't be surprised if he ended up trying to inject himself with some kind of combination of the zombie serum that was used to create Murphy, or that he used to start this whole thing in a vain attempt to keep himself alive.
Well, especially because he thinks that Murphy's kind is the future of the world.
This is also the guy where, the government cut my funding, so I went to the mob. No, yeah, you're stable.
He went to the cartel.
The cartel.
I went to the zero.
Different.
Close enough.
Yeah, what's the difference in the zombie apocalypse?
Geographical location?
Cartel, government, it's all kind of the same.
Yeah, I mean, they were there for him when the government collapsed, so might as well. Although I will say that it is wonderful actually getting a proper introduction to Hector, because he came in, he made a marvelous introduction in the pilot with that giant rocket launcher, but it was really nice to actually have a legit face-to-face with him and our cast of characters, because to him, they are nothing. They are just little peons in this enterprise that he has established for himself. And it was very interesting to see him face to face with them and for him to just dismiss them.
Yeah.
But he's also not the head honcho. Didn't they make comment? What was it? Larena?
Lorena.
The queen.
The queen.
Makes me wonder who he's answering to.
Somebody named Lorena.
Well, okay.
Yeah.
And
it's Dr. Birch.
Yeah.
What if she's alive?
Oh, my, and the head of the cartel.
Crazy theories all around.
She's like, it's been a hard couple of years, but for science.
They needed someone to move the Z-Weep.
I do want to ask, Michelle, because I know you love Emilio. I wanted to know, what was your take on this whole scene where he comes back into the compound?
I just enjoy his acting so much, and I loved learning that his name is Hector Alvarez, because in Sons of Anarchy, he is Marcus Alvarez, and they're heading to California, so I want there to be a reference. I just really want there to be a reference, Michael.
The noise you made when he walked on screen.
What? I don't recall making a noise. I recall being very composed.
Oh, no. No. There were noises. There were noises. So many noises.
I don't recall.
I do. It was hilarious.
I'm pleading the fifth.
And I'm laying it all on the table.
But I would love it if there was, like, kind of a throwback to the very first episode when they referenced some guy, like, held up in a prison, told us about this. Just be like, yeah, I have a cousin who's in a motorcycle club out in California. He says that this is fine. Like, that would just make my life.
We'll see what we can do.
I'm pretty sure it would make her rationally happy.
Provided that he lasts beyond the season.
Yeah.
We have no guarantees for anyone at any time for anything.
No, that's very true.
Now, I do actually want to segue the conversation just for a moment, because we see that all of the Zeros have Z tattoos in one way or another. He has it on his hand. Another guy had it on his arm. It's just, you know, it's just a thing, you know, for their organization. We were talking about this because, Michelle, you said you were rewatching season one.
Yes.
And last week when we were covering episode two, one of the people who had been after our set of characters, he had a spade tattoo on his face.
Yes, that was Wes who went after Doc and tried to kill him.
Mm-hmm.
You're welcome.
And you actually noticed that rewatching season one, there was another character with a spade tattoo.
In the very first episode, the second of the three prisoners being tested for the vaccine in that opening scene has a spade tattoo on his face, too.
Couldn't possibly comment. They have us in a short leash. Carl Schaefer is watching everything we do. And if there are spoilers, there's punishment.
I understand completely.
You don't want to be a head in a jar.
What I'm inferring from that is that there is a connection.
Most likely.
It's just something that you notice that we like, the devil is really in the details in this series. And the fact that there's just something that small that carries over from one season to another, that's very clever writing. And I just kind of, again, I want to give you guys kudos
it could be just a complete
coincidence.
Yeah.
But if there is a connection there, I'm kind of intrigued to see as to where it would go.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering if any of those tiny clues got left on the cutting room floor.
Boo.
Like that half-zombie, that 10K shot.
I do. Okay, so I apologize. That was a complete and total segue.
Oh, no, totally fine.
But it was just something where, like, the little things, and it makes me want to rewatch season one, like, right away to be like, okay, what else did they foreshadow that I completely missed?
What other riches are hidden? In the, you know, stop-and-go viewing.
Yep.
Just go through it frame by frame.
Frame by frame. It only take you a few days.
Take in every single corner, every single surface.
Skip episode six.
Aww.
It just makes me sad.
It is sad.
That would be why. Do I feel like crying tonight?
Nah. Just skip it.
Could
just
run
skip
it in reverse.
They saved him.
And then the cultists leave, and everyone's happy.
and then they get back down the road.
It's in reverse.
It's the perfect episode. No one got hurt. Everyone was fine. I do want to bring up that the idea that Batch 47 is kind of the idea that there could be an alternate cure besides what happened to Murphy. Do we think that those are other avenues? Because clearly what's happening to our characters, you know, they're not living in a bubble. There is a world out there where people have their own stories. Do we think that an alternate cure is even possible, or do we think Murphy's our only hope?
I don't see why it wouldn't be, and I don't see why Batch 47 wouldn't have been viable without some refinement. We had a Scorpion rolling and get incredibly impatient and essentially ruined the guy who was working on it and the batch itself. So it seemed like this is an avenue that may have worked with a lot more work put into it, but we didn't have that opportunity.
I think that's a very fair statement regarding that. I just think that a Scorpion likes business the way it is right now because it's kind of booming for him. Everybody wants to avoid reality, and what better way to do that than Z-Weed? And if they create an herbal cure for the zombie apocalypse, then he probably foresees his business going down. So just kind of...
Also, cartels are not big on competition. So just take that.
Yeah, that's true.
And this guy was doing experiments behind his back.
Right.
So, yeah, there's a combination of factors there.
Maintaining control.
But I'm also, I don't think I'm giving anything away to suggest that the cartel itself may have interests or experience in this very area.
Hmm.
I don't see why not. You keep all sorts of people in there, and they did take all of it that they could, with the exception of the leaves that Doc shoved in his pockets.
Right.
No, and again, that makes complete and total sense, because why would you just have one supplier? It makes and total sense that
they're not going all the way to Minnesota. This is not the only, this is one of many stops.
It's a road trip.
Yeah.
It's just a big road trip.
It's all just bonding. Business, guys.
Zombie
it's all
road
just
trip.
Business.
Well, that's this whole show.
Yes.
The zombie road trip.
All right, let's talk about what do you guys want to talk about this right now? Because we kind of jumped all over the place a little bit.
Do we have anything more to say about Dr. Kurian?
Dr. Kurian getting carted away by the cartel? Yeah. I mean,
he's where he belongs.
It's not going to end well for him. But he's not stupid. He's not stupid, and he's going to say anything he can to remain an asset to them.
And do anything he can, as in cook up, rearrange, develop, so.
Yeah, and now that he essentially has a deadline, literally, because he's going to die at some point because of what's happened to him, he didn't have a moral compass to begin with, but now he has nothing left to lose.
Well, and on one hand, we have him with the Batch 47, which the cartel also has. On the other hand, he straight up said that it was not a viable solution. But this is a very single-minded person who, again, wouldn't let a sudden lack of funding from the government itself stop his research. So who knows how that will work out.
And also, he has a different perspective because he knows the Murphy exists.
That's true.
So he has pointers to there may be some synthesis of organic and molecular that he could be thinking of. If I'm Dr. Kurian, I'd be thinking that.
Well, you'd have to get in his mind to write him, so.
Such as it is, yes. It's a nasty place.
Michelle?
I got hung up on the makeup. I think having taken some makeup classes and being a really big fan of the artistry that goes into this show, I just think it was really, really well done. Especially, there was a moment, I forget who it was with, if it was with a scorpion, where the hole where his ear used to be, they just kind of just became a five-year-old for a second and just shoved their finger in there like, what is this? And I just, because he is so irradiated, I just kind of foresee his journey becoming more kind of grotesque in the makeup department. That's kind of my hope.
Our makeup and effects folks are fabulous. Well, that's all I can say. And by the way, I want to give a little shout out to Alex Yellen, who is our director of photography, ordinarily, who's the guy who designs the lighting and the shots. He directed this. So,
he directed the episode?
Directed the episode, yeah.
Fantastic. Nice.
Yeah. Very well done.
Yeah.
Is this his first episode of the series? Directing?
First episode of the series, yeah. He has
That's
directed
awesome.
Other things, but yeah.
Fantastic. So. We look forward to seeing more of his work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we've got a fun. We've got several fun questions from Twitter. We have Alicia Perez asking, "Did the plant spores from the monster plant zombie cause people to turn into zombies without dying?" Questions, theories.
Question. Hmm.
I mean,
I think they're all the zombies we see are humans who were caught in that environment and affected, killed by other zombies in that environment and
then get
sort of
assimilated into it.
Assimilated is a good word.
Now,
yes.
I have a follow-up question to that then. Had Murphy been killed and been assimilated into this thing, what would have happened? Because we see that he has extraordinary abilities right now. Would that mean this creature would have been able to kind of like entice people into coming in like a fly trap?
Ooh. There's a probably a whole series in Big Fido in the zombie apocalypse. Yeah, he could become, the Fido, not the Murphy. He's got the cure. He doesn't get too far, but then people come to him. So who knows?
Oh, that would be so terrifying. Just kind of a side note, when I initially saw these Swamp Thing zombies, it took me right back to when I was a kid watching Goosebumps. Did any of you see Stay Out of the Basement?
Yes. See, I was thinking of Darkwing Duck and Bushroot.
Oh, yeah. That's way more benign.
A little bit, but still.
Yes, it had very much a Goosebumps feel at certain points, which made me really happy and nostalgic.
It made me happy, too. Oh, but yeah, maybe it scared me when I was a kid, and maybe it made me feel not safe. Maybe. But anyway.
It's a trigger image.
Just like, no, not plant zombies. That's I really liked the idea of them having vines and being able to attack people with the vines. Yeah. That to me reminded me a lot of like a Venus flytrap scenario.
That is Swamp Thing, Audrey the Second, horror movie monster territory.
I like the way the doc referred to it too as like a giant shop of horror.
My favorite line in the whole thing.
Oh, that was so great.
I do want to talk a little bit about Doc in this episode because I think he's just finally getting fed up with Murphy because he was so much more sassy than I think I've seen him this entire series. Because I think between getting shot and chased by Mad Max zombies and then having Murphy run off on them again, I think he's getting kind of sick of the whole thing.
Well, and Murphy immediately threw them under the bus this episode.
Yep.
These guys can go get your care.
They'll do it. They love doing these things.
They love helping out.
They're the protagonists. They'll be fine.
Yeah, I think mostly. In general, our core group is tired of Murphy's antics. Doc is much more tired than everybody else.
Well, Doc had a closer connection to him than most of the rest of the group. Actually saw him as a person, treated him as a friend. So to have Murphy kind of turn around and be like, yeah, no. It's like, thanks for nothing.
Yeah, when they were saying goodbyes when Murphy was getting on the plane in season one, he even said to Doc, like, you're the closest thing to a friend I think I have in this world. And so for this to then happen, that Murphy is just kind of becoming a jerk, more so than usual.
I was going to say
kind of becoming more of a jerk than
he
before.
Used to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is impressive, by the way. It just kind of, I can see why Doc is snippy.
Yeah, he's disappointed, I think, would barely cover it. But that is more where we start. It's just,
I hate that
hey,
word.
Man, this is just, it's not cool.
Yeah, he's not angry, he's disappointed.
I hate the word disappointed.
I just keep thinking of the Kevin Sorbo Hercules clip.
Yeah.
Disappointed!
I'm just thinking of my parents and of school. And
I'm not mad, Murphy, I'm just disappointed.
Oh, Catholic guilt.
Effective line.
Catholic guilt.
Well, and Murphy has this new connection with Cassandra, and ever since, he's acted like he doesn't need the rest of Warren's group.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he'll joke and say that Warren's the boss of him still, but right now Cassandra seems to be the only person in the group that he's really legitimately concerned about.
Yeah, she's, in essence, it's almost like a vampire relationship.
Very similar with their psychic bond.
I mean, she is in zombie blend mythology. She's now descended from Murphy. So they have that. But is that good? I don't know that it's ultimately good for her or for him. You know, it's a user relationship.
I feel so bad for 10K.
I know.
Yeah. Is there anybody you actually feel good for in this?
No.
I mean, I think the apocalypse has been great for Sketchy and Skeevy.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. I think they're doing fine.
And possibly a Scorpion and company.
Yeah. So yeah, they're
probably doing great.
Yeah. Win-win. But yeah.
But yeah, no, it's hard to find anybody who's really content in the zombie apocalypse right now. And you have to ask yourself, what kind of person is content in the zombie apocalypse?
That family.
That little family from episode
that
one.
That little family.
That doesn't bode well.
They're like and the Lauren promised to come back.
That doesn't bode well.
Oh.
Speaking of coming back, we had a question from the chat, and it was like 20 minutes ago, so I don't know if I can find it again, asking whether the little girl who got quote-unquote the cure at the end of this episode will be seen again.
Good question.
Radio silence, everyone.
All right.
Well, radio silence. That's a direct spoiler question. We can't ask those types of things.
I can still pitch it.
We'll know if we ever get back to Minneapolis. How's that?
It is an interesting question in terms of, you know, in terms of speculating what happened to her. Because we have these harvesters, people who legitimately have hope that Batch 47 is the thing that will save the world from the zombie apocalypse. And we have people who are willing to dive into the jaws of death to go get it if it means the cure for the rest of the world. And so we have this woman who's not even this girl's mom. It's just they're all each other has left, and this girl is sick, who I thought she had been bitten by a zombie at first, and then it's like, whew, it's just a regular disease.
It's just bacterial.
A regular fatal disease, yes.
It's just a regular fatal disease. The result's going to be the same.
Well, and this is the second episode in a row we've had where it's like, let's put all the sick people here and then keep them with us, not at all contained. Because that worked super well for the last group, you guys.
That won't backfire at all.
In any capacity.
That can only end well.
But, I mean, we saw the way the really concentrated dose affected this poor...
Odegaard,
yeah. Very Midwestern name.
We saw the way it affected him. It essentially turned him into...
Kind of a zombie hybrid,
I guess. I thought he just looked like a regular zombie, but the way they were looking at him, he was like, did you see him die?
Yeah.
Was it just an overdose, or was he becoming a zombie hybrid?
We just thought of it as high test. It's like he'd gone, it was like somebody who had ingested a vast quantity of drugs.
Yeah. He hadn't overdosed. He was just on, like, a weird, crazy high then.
I think so. I mean...
Would he have come back down?
Good question, but did you want to wait around and find out?
No. El Scorpion? The Scorpion certainly
has,
didn't.
He has no patience.
He has things to do.
I don't have time for this.
Yes.
Zero patience on a rocket launcher. Yes. That is a great combination. And
that's why the cartel, they're zeros. That's how much patience they have.
Zero patience. But even going back to the clinical trials, we see that... A small enough dose doesn't do anything except put a zombie to sleep. Too big of a dose will explode their brains, and then just right. And I really appreciated this.
It's just so cute.
The zombie said, "Brains."
How did it do that without vocal cords? It was a zombie from here up.
Don't question this cinematic gift.
Don't question
that we've
this
received.
Little adorable moment where you feel really confused that you're happy that a zombie said brains.
Hooked on phonics worked for it. Hooked on phonics worked for me.
And yeah. I liked that it said exactly what was on its mind.
Yeah, it just wanted brains.
That's all it's got.
But, so that's a very interesting, like, the fact that it can allow a zombie to vocalize what it really means. It didn't necessarily mean it was the cure. It just meant that it kind of, I don't know, connected some synapses that allowed it to vocalize what it was desiring. Because, yeah, so I'm curious as to how it would have affected somebody who was dying. So,
I think it's interesting because the pods and the leaves aren't gone. They're just in different hands now, and Murphy's the only one with the knowledge that it worked to some extent. So I don't know if those two are going to intersect again, but I think it's interesting to know that the knowledge is still out there and the mm-hmm. materials are still out there.
Well, they told still didn't a thing. They tell someone? I thought they told a scorpion.
Odegaard tried to tell him, and he has zero patience.
That's true.
He shoved the vaporizer thing up his nose and said, "Say when," and it was terrifying. It was terrifying.
But, so yeah, you're absolutely right. They still have this material, and they're smart enough to hold on to it. They're not going to just throw it out. So they're smart enough to hold on to it, and they're going back to headquarters, and our crew is going south.
Yeah.
So
I also have to wonder if Doc still has any. I mean, I know he gave some to the little girl, but did he keep any for himself?
In my mind, there's a little pinch of it somewhere in his pocket.
And he's just going to use it to make his own batch of Z-Weed.
You never know with Doc.
Yeah, you never know when it's going to come in handy.
Yeah.
All right, folks, we're going to take a little break to talk to you guys about iTunes really quickly. Folks, thank you so, so much to everybody who's gone to iTunes to rate and leave a comment. It really means the world to us. It's how we demonstrate that you guys are enjoying the show, that you like the show. And that's how we keep the lights on here in the studio. That's how we're able to go to a new studio. It supports the network. It supports our show. Do we have any new iTunes comments, actually?
I have no idea.
I need to look.
I legitimately don't know.
But we really do appreciate it, and I need to pull it up because... Or are you going to pull it up?
I can keep talking. You probably should because you do this more than I do.
All right, I can pull it up. But I'm going to have to throw a new topic out there while I search. Guys, I want to talk to you about the conversation that Citizen Z and Addie had. Before the Doctor of Death got carted away, he overheard them talking about the CDC. And as she's flipping through different radio stations... We hear that station with numbers again. I'm telling you it's important. I'm telling you it's important. But he gives her the last known location of the CDC, so it does actually kind of sound like they might be on the move.
gives her half of the look for the thing. He gives her half of the last known location. She gets one of the, I can't remember if it's the latitude or the longitude, but she gets one of the coordinates, and the radio cuts out before they can do the other one, because it looks like Citizen Z is running on solar power at this point. He was talking about losing the light, so his setup is just absolutely tanked.
Yes.
Yeah, he's really, it's just jury-rigged right now. He's got very little left. It's not consistent. He's got problems of his own. So, But yeah, he has certain key pieces of information that he wants to share, but will he be able to share them at the right place, right time, completely? Probably not.
Personally, I don't think he's going to stay there much longer. I think
where
that...
Where can he go?
Anywhere.
South?
Anywhere that's
just
warm.
In a general south direction.
I mean, the only thing... I mean, there's nothing there for him anymore except his dog and rations, but, I mean, the place is falling apart. He has to fight for power. He can't even communicate with people directly anymore. And who knows, there could be more frozen zombies, like, just, you know, waiting to attack him. We don't know, because they're lurking in the dark. He can't stay there for much longer, because without power, he can't contribute to them anymore.
Yeah.
And this mission is too important for him not to want to contribute. That is his whole goal, is to get them to California.
And I think he wants to meet Addie.
I think so, too. He looked really happy to hear that she was alive.
He was a lot happier to hear from her than, say, Doc.
For sure.
And now she's single.
Oh. We may be upset with you.
Little bit.
There was foreshadowing of it in episode 2 of season 1.
There was.
There we go. And if we foreshadow, our responsibility is to destroy.
There was part of me that was thinking, is this another dream? Because we had an entire dream episode where we saw him die over and over and over again. So I was like, oh, is this just another Run Lola Run moment? And then it wasn't.
Actually, should have run faster.
Yeah. Actually, while I was rewatching season 1, I skipped that episode because I was like, I've already seen it. I don't need to see it again. Well, no, because he dies for real.
Oh, that's true.
Just don't need to see it again.
We're still
so
emotionally comp.
We are.
Our characters.
Have any new
ones? No, I'm afraid not. But thank you guys. And if you guys do comment, we will give you a shout out on the show. So please go to iTunes, rate, subscribe. We want to hear from you.
And it does take iTunes a couple of days to get its act together and put new reviews up. So if you commented on Friday, we probably don't see it, but we'll see it for next week.
Yeah. We do. And we appreciate everybody who has gone. And we love hearing from the people who are in the hashtag and who are taking the time to be in the live chat, guys.
Yes.
You guys rock.
Thank you
so much.
Mikey Bag of Donuts, Sylvia Love, I think Boo69Bees is also in here, and Luca Schaller.
You guys
rock.
We
love you guys.
Thank you so much.
And since there's 6 people watching, 2 of you are not contributing.
Get it together,
guys. I want to hear from you.
Participate in the conversation. So, we have this conversation between Citizen Z and Addie, and it's very nice, but it's very short-lived. It was this very sweet moment, but we can't have nice things for very long.
No.
And then it just falls apart.
We do have coordinates written on a dusty window where Dr. Kurian can see them.
So he knows where they're going.
He knows at least one part of where they're going.
Yeah, that's true.
He knows what latitude or longitude they're heading for.
Either one.
But then he doesn't really have control over his own movements right now.
No, he doesn't. And if he gives up that piece of information, what else does he have?
That's right.
Well, again, he's a doctor? I don't know if he's a certified doctor. I don't know if a certified doctor would go around all over the world.
We have one uncertified doctor that is doc.
He is a doctor. He's just a bad doctor.
Yeah.
He has done very questionable human experiments.
Yes.
He is a PhD.
He's like, what was Dr. Frankenstein? He's that guy.
I think he was a student. Like, actually, in the book, he was becoming a doctor.
Yeah, nobody thinks of the book.
Also,
Dr. Frankenstein.
Frankenstein, yes.
So he was doing all these terrible things. So he is a very smart man. Like I said, he's not an idiot. And having at least a component of information as to where they're going or, you know, and knowing what they're after, too. He knows what their end game is.
Well, he would, because remember, his background was is he has an association with merch. He was part of or aware of the whole set of experiments way back that created the Murphy in the first place. So he knows what the end game and end location was supposed to be. So he's just trying to keep up.
So do we know why the government dropped him?
I think his methods became unsound.
I think that's fair to say.
Also, I think the government fell apart, so it was less a case of them deliberately dropping him, much more just not being around.
It was less they called me mad and more like the establishment.
Bye, guys.
It was more like
the president is dead.
They stopped calling.
They never called. They never write.
Yeah. I'm worried sick whether or not I'm going to get my money.
Yeah. They're not paying their child support.
Yeah, it's pretty
How
awful.
Am I going to support all these zombies?
Just disappointed.
Yeah.
That, speaking of zombie children. That was an unintentional but perfect segue.
That was so
I am
good.
So proud of myself.
So a certain lovely lady has walked back into the scene. And this was because the you know, a lot of this episode had been so serious with a, you know, a dying little girl and a weird hive mind, you know, plant zombie. and Dr. Kurian and the cartel. There had been so much serious stuff in this episode. To hear Murphy genuinely panic about seeing a girl he had a one-night stand with, it was the moment I actually really enjoyed laughing. And I was like, I don't think I've laughed this entire episode. And it just made me really, really happy to see him have that reaction.
And we definitely brought a pie into the studio to celebrate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's just a little bit too far for me to reach otherwise.
There's a reason for that.
That is intentional.
There's a reason for that.
Other people would have to carry on the conversation.
My pie.
I'm sorry.
But it's placed very strategically so none of us can actually get to it.
It's my pie.
I'm going to feel like a zombie trying to reach for it. Like,
it's our batch 47.
Pie.
Pie number 48.
Yeah. But as they're driving...
courtesy of Simple Things on Riverside.
Oh, it looks delicious. It's salted caramel. Anyway.
Focus. Bring it back.
Back to the camera. So they're driving away, and she is walking towards them, and they recognize her. Addie does, for sure. And she's just so excited to see them, because she has been on a mission to find Daddy. Yeah. And I have to say, this was a... genuinely unsettling moment, because it was unsettling enough to see the zombie baby point in the direction that Murphy was, to actually see it attempt to jump out of her uterus. Like, how does that not bother her?
It's gonna eat its way out of her like an alien at some point. Like, I'm calling it now.
Like,
it's gonna be awful, but that is gonna be a thing that occurs.
Tune in next Friday.
Where we get all our answers. I just love that in this chaotic post-apocalyptic world, Murphy can still have those very real fears of, oh crap, how am I going to care for a child now?
Right. And everyone just smirking like mad. Oh yeah, we're going to pull over and pick her up. No, keep driving. It's your baby mama. We got it. And Addie's reunion with her, because they knew each other.
Yeah.
They stayed in the same compound for goodness knows how long.
I'm actually a little... I mean, granted, the payoff was wonderful, but I actually am surprised that Addie didn't tell him, like, at some point. And I guess the reason why she didn't is because there just hasn't been any time. They've only met briefly, and then they've been on the run again, and it's just been go, go, go ever since they reunited. But I was surprised that she didn't tell him that, oh, by the way, she was pregnant and she's probably dead. But at the same time, I can totally understand her not wanting to, like, put that on him. So
you've got to find the moment for that.
Exactly.
Well, but, and I also have to wonder how long ago the compound
Well, that's
went
just
under.
It. And what did Addie actually know about Pie Girl's condition?
Because she may not have been showing when they split up.
And then when it all went to crap, they probably went in different directions
and
didn't see each other again until this moment where it's like, oh, you are round. You have a shape and there
is
a human in it.
Thing that is happening
that
right
is
now.
A thing.
Human loose, using the term.
Loose term.
Loose.
Humanoid.
Yeah. Something in there.
There is a thing in there.
This show does love its zombabies.
There's one per season, I swear.
But there, okay, so again, because I'm a nerd and I just rewatched season one, at the end of the episode where they did hook up, she, like, lovingly touches her belly, just knowing She just knows already. That's creepy.
Yeah, no, and when we watched that episode, I was like, that is trouble.
Yeah.
That's trouble.
Trouble coming.
I think we all kind of went, ooh.
Yeah. I know it's called Zombaby next week, but I feel like a more apt title might be Karma.
Because what goes around comes around.
Because if you're going to be a jerk to everyone in the zombie apocalypse, you are going to deal with karma in some way.
There are consequences, even for the Murphy.
Yeah.
Even for the Murphy.
Especially for the Murphy.
And again, right now, we don't know if Murphy's powers are a good thing or a bad thing. So we don't really... I mean, granted, at the end of this episode, it was hinted that it's a very bad thing. But we don't know whether or not this zombaby is going to be a good thing or a bad thing. Probably terrible. Probably awful.
Well, and again, I have to wonder about the Z-weed, the effect that we've seen it have on Cassandra, etc. We didn't get a lot of that this episode, but that is still a factor, that it makes her more lucid when she's on it.
True, yeah. But we don't know if the baby's going to be like Cassandra, who was bit to save her life, or if it's going to be exactly like Murphy. If it comes out blue, that's going to be concerning.
Yeah, that would be...
That's just a thought that I had in this moment.
Does he or she take after mom or dad?
The genie from Aladdin.
Well, normal babies occasionally come out in odd colors just because of the process.
I will say that that Serena was very she was very happy to see Murphy, and it was very polite of her not to say that he looked like a member of the Blue Man Group.
Yeah.
It was very polite of her not to say, what the hell happened to you?
She was just so happy.
So many Arrested Development jokes.
But so we have a lot of interesting things that could maybe will happen. Again, we don't know if this is going to be a good thing or a bad thing, but it is so wonderful to see Pie Girl is now a member of the group.
Yes.
That's fantastic.
That makes me very happy.
Happy to accommodate.
Yay!
Thank you for that.
We do so many mean things. It's nice. It feels good to do a nice thing.
It's nice to have this moment of joy.
Yeah.
It's you and
however
it's me and the baby
short-lived it might be.
A bundle of joy?
Yeah. Question mark. I do want to go back a minute to talk about the moment when the hive was destroyed. Because when the scorpions were going to burn it down, Murphy tried, again, uncharacteristically, tried to do the right thing. And so it was very interesting to see, again, him have this moment of compassion and to have it backfire on him. Because he doesn't try to do the right thing very often. And again, we can kind of see why. He tries to do the right thing and bad things happen.
I'm not sure if he was necessarily trying to do the right thing when he wanted to prevent that zombie from being killed. And more to the point of, no. Like, it wasn't necessarily the right thing, but he knew it was going to hurt.
Oh, like he was more concerned about the physical pain it would cause
it's like,
him.
Yes, whatever they're going to do to it is going to bounce on me. So
fair enough.
Why don't you get out of here?
And it may have been
It
may have been some compassion for the zombie, but it was not necessarily the right thing for the group.
No. I mean, helping a zombie is rarely ever the right thing for the group. But again, he was showing compassion, and again, it might have been 100% self-serving of just trying to avoid pain. But it was also, it seemed to be a genuine connection, something he was genuinely concerned about.
Yeah,
I don't know. And then they send it through a fan.
That was awesome. Oh, that was wonderful.
That was something.
That was a very creative zombie kill, and I very much enjoyed it.
I was
not my favorite zombie kill.
It was kind of the no capes thing from The Incredibles.
No capes.
I was very much reminded, and I know I've referenced this movie before, but I was very much reminded of Peter Jackson's first feature film, Dead Alive / Brain Dead, where our protagonist, when he becomes the hero, takes a lawnmower to a set of zombies who are in a party room. So it reminded me a lot of that.
Yeah.
Fair enough. I can see that. Yeah.
Yep. And that's kind of where...
Didn't they cut a lawnmower out of Lord of the Rings at one point?
Yeah, that's in the extended edition.
They were using them in Hobbiton, you know.
In the Shire.
Yeah.
Yep.
I will say that I was actually expecting a lawnmower at some point because they said no guns in the greenhouse, that it's just things that will kill plants. Even though the things that kill plants don't look like they were very, very effective
my
on the greenhouse.
My kingdom for a weed whacker. I mean, we had it in Zombies Ate My Neighbors. I'd love to see it show up here.
I think we had a garden weasel. That's...
Yeah, I think it's just things that don't rely on power or gas. True. Are probably the weapons of choice.
Also true. I'd still love like a weed whacker, though. Also, just in general.
Lawnmowers are heavy and they stay on the ground by design. So, like, imagine trying to lift one up and just whack a zombie.
It was probably very heavy.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, guys, that's all I have. Do you guys have any other thoughts before we move into predictions?
We have a comment from the chat from Jenny Glancy saying, "This show is like therapy for Z Nation, and it's what I need after each show."
Thank you. Thank you so much.
We do what we can.
I make it worse.
We are feeling all of the same things you are feeling. This is therapy for us, too, because we have so many feels about this show.
All the feels.
All the feels. All right. Any other thoughts before we move into predictions?
No, just that.
All right. Let's move into predictions.
I made the mistake of staring at the bright light.
I know, don't right? Do that. And now there are more of them. God.
I love the light show so much.
I do, too. It makes me so happy. Okay. So, Pie Girl has rejoined the group. They are heading south.
To Iowa.
Where all do we think they're heading? More specifically, what trouble do we think they're going to get into?
I have to wonder how long she's going to stay with the group, and whether or not she'll live past next episode, and whether or not we'll have a baby to take care of with or without Mom.
We know how well Warren handled the baby the first time around. That would be concerning.
Yeah.
I don't know if she's going to die in childbirth. I don't know if the baby's going to happen in the next episode or if it's just going to be, you know, an episode of reconnecting and talking about what has happened in the last however many months. Because I also don't know if this is a normal pregnancy or if this is some Twilight level crap.
I think you can pretty much assume it's not normal.
Yeah.
Where it's an accelerated growth rate within the womb.
Yeah, no. Because, yeah, we don't really have a good grasp on how long it's been.
Is this a normal pregnancy? Face pressed against the uterine wall.
Is it normal?
Not so much.
I'm not a doctor. But Dr. Curry.
No kidding.
I'm
Dr. Curry and deliver the baby.
I'm very intrigued as to how our new group member is going to react to the fact that there's this. I mean, the entire group probably isn't going to react well. But he is very, because he hasn't been with this group for very long and his end game is just essentially selling Murphy and getting the reward, you know, so I'm going to be very interested because his reaction is to shoot first, ask questions later.
Mm-hmm.
So seeing this, I'm intrigued to see the kind of dynamic the group is going to go and see if whether or not these two new people who have entered our group are really going to stay for long or if it's going to be like, well, we got to pick one or the other.
I feel like he's going to be our straight man for the weirder stuff in this group. It's just like, and this is normal for you? Oh, yeah, we've dealt with zombie babies before. Didn't go well, but we have.
But we did. We were there. It happened.
Yeah. And I'm actually going to disagree with you, Katie, in terms of, like, kind of assuming the baby's going to get killed off very quickly, because I don't think we would have a plot line like this if it wasn't going to have long-lasting effects. That's just me.
It would be unfair for me to jump in, so.
Yeah, and
what are your predictions?
We don't want to put you on the spot. We don't want to get you in trouble.
Yeah.
Yes. That is a thing we'd like to avoid. I agree with you, Megan. I think having the first kind of natural zombie hybrid come into the world, I don't think it's going to die right away.
Yeah, no. I think we're going to see very interesting things from this good or bad thing that's happening. Anyway, guys, thank you so, so much for tuning in. Do you guys have any more thoughts on tonight's episodes or on things that might happen?
Not for this one. I think I'm pretty much exhausted.
I know. I'm pretty spent. Michael, thank you so, so much again for coming in. And
happy
sorry
to be here.
Sorry again for putting you on the spot so much.
I'm used to it.
Well, we really appreciate it. Where can people go if they want to find out more about you and about the projects that you're working on?
Twitter, CassettZN would be the place. I kind of keep my vast legion of followers, all 75 of them or something, updated there.
Fantastic. Michelle, where can people go if they want to find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Michelle_Cullen.
I'm Katie Cullen. You can find me on Twitter, Tumblr, and Instagram at Kiaxet. That's Kiaxet. I'm also on Snapchat at Kia Prime, and I am on so many shows, you guys. Blindspot, Minority Report, Guardians of the Galaxy, The Muppets, Arrow is starting this week, and obviously this one.
Yep, a lot of good stuff coming on this fall.
So many shows.
Too much to keep up with.
400 shows.
Thank you, guys. I'm Megan. You can follow me on Twitter at TheMenguin. That's TheMenguin. I'm also on a bunch of shows here at AfterBuzz as well. And be sure to tune in on Tuesdays for the Movie Chick News Show every week. So thank you guys so, so much for tuning in. Thank you to everybody who commented on the hashtag and the live chat. We will see you all next week.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz, see you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.